I inherited this cribbage board from my dad. He made it before I was born. It has these brass inlay in it. I'm not sure what kind of wood it is, but it's gorgeous hardwood. It's maybe teak, maybe oak. I don't know. On the back, he has this little pocket that he made to store the pegs in. I don't know if you can see those here on the video, but there's little brass pegs in there for keeping score. I don't play cribbage, but this is one of my most prized possessions. It is older than I am, and it is absolutely perfect in every way. My dad was a perfectionist, and this cribbage board was not the only thing I inherited from him. I also inherited his perfectionism, and that's something I've been trying to get rid of my entire adult life. This is episode 129 of the Tiny Course Empire podcast, and today I want to talk to you about why you're not publishing more to grow your business, because I know a lot of you are just like me. You have millions of words written. You have hundreds of pieces that you could publish, but you're not, because they're not perfect, because they need one more edit or a little bit more research or just a tiny bit more information. Whatever perfectionism looks like for you, I have four ideas for you today that will help you get past it.
Welcome to the Tiny Course Empire podcast, a weekly show dedicated to helping you launch and grow your digital course business, even if you don't have a big team or a six-figure ads budget. We'll help you design smart systems, take consistent action, and achieve massive success on your own terms. Now, here's your host, Cindy Bedar.
Hey, it's Cindy, and thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with me. You'll find the show notes and the recommended resources for this episode at tinycourseempire.com/129. While you're there, be sure to download my Clear Framework. This is the blueprint that will take you from no business to six or even seven figures as a digital course creator. Don't let the simplicity fool you. This is a powerful action guide, and all you have to do is follow the steps. If you're new to the show, be sure to hit the subscribe button. New episodes drop every Monday morning. And next week, I'm going to take you behind the scenes of a little experiment I'm running. I'll tell you all about it next week. But today, let's talk perfectionism, where it comes from, and how to tame it. If you've ever suffered from perfectionism, then you might have asked yourself, what the heck? What is going on here? Why am I like this? Why is it so hard for me to just hit the publish button on whatever it is that you're working on? Well, it turns out that a 2015 study proved that about 30% of all perfectionism is genetic. So when I said that I inherited my perfectionism from my dad, that wasn't very far off the mark. I probably did. If you had parents or other close family members who are perfectionist or who have perfectionistic tendencies, that's probably a part of why you have perfectionism as well. Another part of perfectionism, or another cause of perfectionism, is just the personality traits that we are born with. And one of the big ones is introversion. If you are an introvert, you most likely are also a perfectionist. I am definitely an introvert, so I come by that naturally too. Then there's the educational expectations. When I was growing up, along about fourth grade, so this would have been in the mid to late 70s, they introduced something in my school called the Gifted Program, and all of the students were tested, and those who were deemed to be gifted, or you know, I don't know, we had higher IQs, whatever. I don't know what they were testing or how they determined this, but those who were deemed to be gifted were treated differently. We were given special assignments. We were taken out of class to do special projects. we were given an accelerated curriculum. And this went on for several years. So it started in the fourth grade and probably carried on through seventh or eighth grade. So for 4 years or so. And that educational expectation definitely impacted me, and not necessarily in a good way. And it's true for many perfectionists that those early educational expectations have a long-lasting impact on your personality and can make you more of a perfectionist as an adult. So if you, like me, were ever tested and said to be in the gifted program, or if you got really good grades, if you had your teachers had very high expectations, or your parents had very high expectations of you, then that may be part of why you now identify with that perfectionistic tendencies. How do you even know if you're a perfectionist? If you're sitting there questioning, well, I don't know, maybe I am a perfectionist, but not in everything. So how can you tell? Well, there's a few telltale signs that make it obvious that you are a perfectionist. One of them is that you hold yourself to really excessively high standards. Nothing is ever good enough, right? There's always something more that you can do. There is always something you can change to make it better. Whether you are writing an article or baking a cake, it's never good enough. You might also have very rigid all-or-nothing thinking. This is really common in my life. An example of this might be, well, I'm trying to eat healthier and I ate a cookie today after dinner, so therefore all of the work that I did in the 2 weeks before that is meaningless and I might as well eat the whole bag of cookies. That's all or nothing thinking, and it's very common among perfectionists like me. Another example is being preoccupied with tiny little details. There's a quote from Oscar Wilde that I just love. He says, "I spent the morning putting in a comma, and I spent the afternoon taking it out." That's the kind of minor details that perfectionists obsess over. So if you have ever found yourself rewriting the same sentence 16 times to make sure that it says exactly what you want it to say, and oh, by the way, it probably still isn't quite good enough, you might just be a perfectionist. Another example, and this is again something really prevalent in my own life, is that you procrastinate. You worry that nothing is going to be good enough, that you're not going to be able to live up to those own very high standards that you have set. So therefore, you don't finish. Maybe you don't even get started, or maybe you start, but then you put off doing the work because you can't live up to your own high standards. So you procrastinate and procrastinate and procrastinate. And as a little aside here, there's no logic to this, right? Because what happens is we procrastinate on a project and then we wait until the last minute to do it and then we have to get it done and then it really doesn't live up to those high standards that we set. So if you are a procrastinator, it may very well be evidence that you are also a perfectionist. And finally, and again, this is something in my own life that may resonate with you, you have trouble delegating. It's very, very difficult to hand off work to someone else when we have such high standards that we can't even meet those standards, let alone the person that we are going to hand off the work to. So delegation doesn't happen. So did you see yourself in any of those examples? Those are all things that I pulled from my own life. So I'm right there with you if you are recognizing yourself in those descriptions that I gave you. And if you did, what do you do about it? Well, I've got four ideas for you. The first one is just to give yourself permission to stink, right? Give yourself permission to not be good at stuff. It's okay. You know, Stephen King makes about $11 bazillion from every book he publishes, right? He is the most prolific author of our lifetime, and he makes a boatload of money. And he's super popular, But you know what? His first book, Carrie, the one that people talk about how he got such a big advance, he got like $40,000 advance on that book at a time when that was an extreme amount of money. But you know what? That book was rejected by 30 publishers before he got that advance. So that was not an overnight success. He did not come out of the gate being the exceptional writer we know him to be. He was rejected hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of times for short stories and other books that he had written before Carrie was ever accepted to be published. And even that book was rejected 30 times. So you can objectively say he sucked. He was not a good writer when he first got started, but nobody would say that now. Or you can look at Amy Porterfield. She makes well over 8 figures in her business. I had to stop to think, is it 8 or 9? It might be 9. I'm not even sure now. But she makes good money. She has a very, very successful business. No one can deny that. But she tells the story of her first course that she launched that made less than $300. So clearly, she didn't start out. She wasn't born knowing all there is to know about running an online business. She did not start out as the genius that she is today. And if you want to see a real life example of this from my own business, go listen to the first few episodes of this podcast. Some of them are pretty cringeworthy. I did not start out as confident or as well-spoken as I might appear today. And in a year, I'm going to be even better. We all start out as beginners, and that's okay. So give yourself permission to not be excellent at something. It's okay. You do not have to be good at everything. We are all beginners at some point. The next thing that you can do to get beyond your perfectionism is to look for the point of diminishing returns. There is only so much you can do to perfect that article that you're writing or that podcast that you are recording. There is a point where no one but you will notice that tiny improvement that you've made. No one but you will notice that version F is slightly better than version D. No one will know. So look for that point of diminishing returns. Be aware of it and ask yourself, really, does that improvement that I want to make or that extra point that I want to make or that extra research that I want to do, is that really going to improve the results that my student or my subscriber or my client is going to get? Or is it just me spending an extra hour so I can feel better about my product or my article or my podcast being perfect? If it's not going to help your student or your subscriber or your client get better results, then I would argue it's probably not worth that extra hour of your time. Another thing you can do is give yourself permission at the beginning to take a mulligan. Mulligan is a golf term that means to take a do-over, to just take that shot again. Every single week when I record this podcast, I think it stinks. I think it's terrible. And you know what I do? I tell myself when I sit down to record that if it's bad, I'll record it again. I can do it again. And I can do it again and again and again until it's good enough. And do you want to know how many times I've re-recorded my podcast? Never. Never once have I taken myself up on that offer to re-record the podcast, because it's always good enough when I get done. So remember, nothing that we do here is carved in stone. It can always be redone. You can give yourself permission to redo it right away. If you truly do not like what you have created in the moment, do it again. No one will know the difference. But here's something else you should do. Go back and look at your older things that you've published. Go back and listen to your older podcasts or watch your older videos, because I can almost guarantee that you are going to find some that you watch or you read and you think, wow, this is really good stuff, because it is. So give yourself permission to redo it if it's not, but also be willing to accept the fact that some of the things that you are creating is or are really good right out of the box. And finally, give yourself a deadline. I have a time block set on my calendar every Monday morning. I have 3 to maybe 3.5 hours to write an entire week's worth of emails. And I commit myself or commit to getting those emails written in that time frame. That is all the time that I have for it. And I do that because we know that work will expand to fill whatever time you give it. So if I tell myself I have all week to write a week's worth of emails, it will take me all week. I will be writing Sunday morning's email on Sunday morning, and I do not want that. It's not good for my business. It's not good for me. It's not good for my sales. And it certainly is not good for my perfectionism. So give yourself a deadline. Tell yourself that I have 3 hours or 5 hours or 2 days or whatever time frame it is to finish this project. And when that time is up, hit the publish button, whether you think it's good enough or not. I used to have a problem, a personal problem with this advice. I would hear people talk about, well, just set a deadline. And I'd think, well, it's a fake deadline. I'm not going to keep a fake deadline, right? And I didn't. So how can you force yourself to keep a fake deadline? Put another deadline right behind it. So I record I write emails on Monday mornings, and right after that, I have another project that is in my calendar that also has its own deadline. So I don't have a lot of space to drag my feet on writing those emails because I don't have any other time that I can do it. I have to get it done because I have added back-to-back deadlines to my schedule. So that's how I hold myself accountable and get the things done. Even when I think, oh, I need to do just a little bit more research, or, oh, I want to run this through a grammar check one more time, or, oh, I should play with the subject lines a little bit more to make sure that they're perfect. I don't have time for that. They're good enough. And I don't have time because I have another project that is on my calendar that I have to work on. I said at the beginning of this episode that I inherited my perfectionism from my dad, along with this beautiful cribbage board. And I keep this cribbage board on my desk because I love it. It's older than I am, like I said, and my dad made it, and that makes it special to me. But I'm thinking now, I also need to keep it close by as a reminder that I should not let perfectionism get in the way of getting things done, because while this cribbage board is beautiful, if my dad had said to himself, it's not perfect, it's not good enough, it's not worthy of being out in the world, then I wouldn't have it today. And that would make me sad. So I'm glad that my dad finished it. I'm glad that he left it for me to remember him by, and I'm glad that I can use it as a reminder to hit the publish button and let my creativity go out in the world, because somebody somewhere needs to read or hear what I have to say, and somebody somewhere needs to read or hear what you have to say too. So don't let your perfectionism deprive them of that. Now, I would love to hear from you. Would you do me a favor? Click over to tinycourseempire.com/129 and leave me a comment. Tell me if you consider yourself to be a perfectionist and if you find that it holds you back from publishing more content. I'd also love to know what plans you have for overcoming it. And if you have a friend or a colleague who could use business building advice, would you please share the link with them? It's a great way to grow our audience, and I would appreciate your support. All the episodes can be found at tinycourseempire.com. That's it for me this week. I'll be back next week with a behind-the-scenes look at my latest project, why I changed my mind on it, and what I hope to learn from the experience. Have a terrific rest of your day, and I will talk to you next week. If you like what you hear on the Tiny Course Empire podcast, you're going to love all of the courses and workshops and support you'll find inside Six Figure Systems. That's my monthly program where we dig into online marketing for regular people like you and me. We don't do big launches, we don't have the big headaches, and we don't have the big expenses that come with them. Instead, we focus on creating repeatable, sustainable systems that continue to grow over time and that don't suck up all of our energy or require a 10-person team to manage. You can come see what we're all about at sixfiguresystems.com, and I'll see you on the inside.